is our, am I saying your name correctly, Polsky?
Perfect.
Polsky. Well, I normally tear him up pretty bad, so I'm glad to know.
I get worried when you start to call me Polanski.
No, okay. I will try not to do that to you this morning, Mr. Polsky. You may proceed.
Thank you, Justice. This case began in 2009 when I purchased an acre and a half of beachfront property about 3,000 feet north of Beach Access 6 on South Padre Island. And the idea was that it was going to be a retirement property for me. I had it zoned industrial. Industrial zoning was the highest zoning in Cameron County, where you could build anything you want, including a sexually oriented business at that point. later on in 2016-17, I applied for a sexually oriented business license. I ultimately was turned down after public hearings by Sheriff Lucio. The application had to be applied to by the sheriff. Cameron County in 2004 passed a Sexually Oriented Business Act. And that Sexually Oriented Business Act laid down strict rules and regulations for applying for a sexually oriented business license. Now, I don't know if all of the justices are familiar with the layout of South Padre Island or where my property is located, but one thing I can tell the three justices is my particular beachfront property, the closest humanoid that lives near my property is 6 miles to the south and 20 miles to the north. So I'm in the middle of nowhere. There's no human being 6 miles to the south of me or 20 miles to the north or 10 miles to the west. I'm in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing there except my property. And the reason that the county turned down my application is as set forth in the order of Judge Eddie Trevino of September 8, 2017. They could find no fault in my application, so what they did is they created a legal fiction. The legal fiction that Judge Trevino, who's an attorney, and two of his commissioners, and I guess all four commissioners created, is they made a finding that the beach within 1,500 foot of my property, and again, my property, I own lots 8, 9, and 10, and my property is beachfront property, so I own beachfront property. They said the beach in front of my property is a public park.
Okay, I'd like to stop you there and ask you a couple of questions, Mr. Polsky. When you purchased your land in 2009, the statute of this regulation that we're dealing with was already enacted, correct? That was a
correct, Justice.
2004, so you were aware of it. And even though that you were asked that no one lives near your property, there are several lots that are owned by private individuals near your property, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I also noted that the trial court asked you a question during the hearing that was held, I believe, in I think in November or September. I forget the quick question. But Judge Pate specifically asked you that families and other people use the beaches that are out front of your property. And you said, yes, they do. Is that still true, that people use the beach in your front?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. So when we're looking at this public park, we're looking as it is defined under the statute under 204. Is that correct, the public park? Any tract of land dedicated for public use and accessible as set out in that statute?
That's incorrect.
Okay, you don't think that the definition as set out by the statute in 204 is a statute that we need to follow?
No. What you need to follow is the county ordinance. The county ordinance, which creates sexually oriented business, Justice, okay. And the county ordinance defines public park. So remember, I'm applying for a sexually oriented business, and the county ordinance defines what a public park is. So in the county ordinance, GG and GG under, and I'll read it to you, gives the person who applies for a sexually oriented business the definition of a public park. Now, that's the only way that a person can know what a public park is. I'm going to read the Sexually Oriented Business Act of Cameron County, passed in 2004, Section 5 GG defines public park as any tract of land dedicated for public use and accessible to the general public for recreational purposes, including locations owned by nonprofit organizations that provide educational and recreational facilities, but not including public roads, walkways, easements, and rights of way. So that's the only definition that would apply to me and to any individual that would apply for a sexually oriented business license. It's the only one that matters, because that's the one that I have to look to when I apply for a sexually oriented business.
Okay, you then go, and so that the order is signed by and followed by Judge Pate would issue the final order of this case, is that your land is within 1,500 yards of a...
1,500 feet.
I mean, 1,500 feet, I'm sorry, of a public park as you just defined, didn't he?
Excuse me?
Didn't Judge Pate decide that your property is within 1,500 feet using the definition that you just gave this court?
Yes, but he was in error, because the error he made is that the public beach under Texas Constitution Article 1, Section 33, which was passed subsequent to the Sexually Oriented Business Act being passed in 2004, defines public beach means a state-owned beach bordering on the seaward shore of the Gulf of Mexico, extending from mean low tide to the landward boundary of state-owned submerged land to any larger area extending from the line of mean low tide to line of vegetation bordering on the Gulf of Mexico to which the public has acquired right of use or easement to or over the area by prescription or dedication, or has established and retained a right by virtue of continuous right in the public under Texas common law. So the public gets to use the beach in front of my property by right of easement. And on GG of the Sexually Oriented Business Act, a public park cannot be property where the public has acquired use by easement. But it gets even worse. I had the county property appraiser, Richard Molina, the big man himself, the guy in charge, the number one man, testify that the property in front of my property, I own lots 8, 9, and 10, is owned by private individuals. Now, this is very important, justices. It's owned, define the people that own the property on the beach. It's owned by private individuals, and they pay taxes. So the public beach is actually owned by people like you, yourselves, and myself. They pay $100 nominal taxes, and therefore it can't be a public park, because a public park can't be owned by private individuals. And he testified to that. It's in the record, and the county commissioners and Judge Pate disregarded the fact that the beach in front of my property and going up and down the beach is actually owned by private individuals who pay taxes on it. You Counsel, can't have a public park owned by private individuals.
How do you distinguish then Villanova Resort versus the state of Texas, in which this court, Justice Norman Utter, specifically found that the beach was basically implied easement, et cetera, and grant allowed the property be used or disused in a certain way?
Well, this...
It seems like that case is right on point when it comes down to the use of the beach as a public park.
But the way that I apply it is because GG of the statute where I apply for my license specifically says a public park cannot be property where the public has an easement. It specifically excludes property where, and all you have to do is read it. It says it can't include property where the public has an easement. So the county, I have to go by what the county, you know, defined as a public park. I mean, that's the county's definition, not my definition. I didn't create GG under 4. I'm not the one that wrote the statute, Justice Perk. And all you have to do is read GG. I mean, they're stuck with the definition that they created. I mean, if they're not stuck with the definition they created, how can a private individual like myself, how can I apply for, and how can I know what the law is? They can't talk out of both sides of their mouth. They have to be bound by exactly what their sexually oriented statute excludes as a public park, and GG under Section 4 of their own sexually oriented business statute excludes as a public park property over which the public has an easement. And the case you refer to is right on point. It supports my position. The public has an easement. Therefore, this property in front of my property, A, can't be a public park. Property appraiser Molina says it's owned by private individuals. Private individuals, a public park can't be owned by a private individual. So they created a legal fiction to take away my private property right to open up a topless bar. It's strictly a legal fiction. There is no public.
Why is it inappropriate for the county to dedicate this after you made an application?
They didn't dedicate it. They didn't go through the proper statutory means to make a public park. That's the whole point. That you have Isla Blanca.
Let me just stop you there. The tracking the language of the definition that you've given this court, it just says tract of land dedicated for public use. Why do you believe that means that it has to be more than just what the county did? Where do you derive that authority from?
From the order itself of the judge, where in the order of September 8th, he says that the property in front of my beachfront is a public park not owned by Cameron County. How can he make that finding? He's not telling you who owns that public park. Who, in other words, what sovereign owns the public park? He's not telling you that. He's creating a legal fiction. Does the state own it? He's not telling you who owns it. Is it the United States Park Service? Not telling you. Is it the state of Texas? He's not telling you. All he's telling you is, I'm telling you, I'm using my power to say it's a public park. I'm not telling you whose public park it is, and I'm creating this legal fiction so Mr. Polsky can't open up a topless bar. So that's all he's doing. I mean, he's not dedicating a county public park and using the correct statutory means that allows a county to create Isla Blanca Public Park, Atwood Public Park, the other public parks which the county created. He's just using and creating a corrupt legal fiction to take away my private property rights. And he's going directly against the definition in his own statute to do it. And it's just totally unfair for him to do that. His own statute defines what a public park can be, and he's
before
not...
Before you run out of time, Mr.
Thank you, ma'am.
I wanted to ask you, why is the sheriff, Omar Lucio, still in this appeal? It seems like he was dismissed. Should he still be part of this appeal, or do you agree that he should not?
No, the sheriff is the man who wrote me a letter denying my application. He is the proper party. If you look at the Sexually Oriented Business Act, it says specifically in the act, it's the sheriff who I applied to. I made the check payable to the sheriff. I gave the sheriff my application, and it's the sheriff who gave me my denial letter. Who else would I appeal from? The sheriff. He's in charge of it. Again.
Yeah, but the final decision and the order before this court is the order from Judge Pate affirming the commissioner's court's denial, correct?
Well, no, it was the sheriff's denial.
I know that they initially denied, which then you then got a formal denial from the Cameron County Commissioners, Eddie Trevino's, the order we've been discussing here this morning. And that's what was appealed to Judge Pate, who then affirmed that denial. So isn't that the correct order that's an appeal before us? It isn't really...
Well, I quoted a case in my brief, a case directly on point, in which the sheriff was deemed the proper party and not the commissioners. It's the sheriff.
Which case is that that you're referring to, sir? Do you recall?
Sheriff Tommy, and I forget his last name. It's in my brief. It's where the sheriff was deemed the proper party and not the commissioners. I think Tommy Smart, I think that was his last name. But in my particular case, the commissioners are not the proper party. The sexually oriented business statute says it's the sheriff who decides whether I get the license or not, not the commissioners. They make recommendations, but it's the sheriff who makes the final decision. Thank you, Justices.
Thank you. You'll have 5 minutes on the call.
Thank you. Let me just get my papers, please.
Good morning, Justices.
Good morning, Mr. Gonzalez.
I'm here for Cameron County and the sheriff. I'm accompanied by my litigation counsel, Daniel Lopez. Sheriff Ahmad Lucio is in the audience. Thank you for being here, Sheriff. The case that Mr. Polsky was talking about is Web World Marketing versus Tommy Thompson on page 6 of his brief and on page 19 of the brief itself. What we have here, first of all, is the order from Judge Pate. And so in the view of the county and of the sheriff, that is our starting point. It is the position of Cameron County that that Judge Pate correctly decided what was before him and that everything contained in his judgment is appropriate and based on the proper standard of review. One of the issues here that Mr. Polsky raised was what is the standard of review, and his belief was that it was substantial evidence. We don't believe that's correct because the cases that he cited were appeals from administrative agencies. This is not an appeal from administrative agency. It is an appeal from an order upholding the denial by the Cameron County Commissioner's Court. And so that being the case, yesterday I filed electronically a list of additional cases. Mr. Polsky has copies of those. I filed them through an abundance of caution. I think that everything in those cases is already within my brief. I may have not prescribed to those cases in the brief itself, but the proper standard of review in our view is abuse of discretion. And what we know from the law that applies is a county is an entity of limited authority. But in those areas where the legislature or the Constitution grants authority, counties have broad authority. We're entitled to deference. And so when Judge Pate went to rule on this case, in the judgment, he recites what the standard of review is, that it is abuse of discretion, and his findings in that judgment state that there was no arbitrary, capricious, or lack of substantial evidence, and the other things that he recites there, because the county is entitled to deference. And so we think that judgment was correctly decided. Contained within the judgment was a dismissal of the sheriff. Under the regulations for Cameron County, the sheriff is delegated authority to process the application, to investigate, to make determinations, and approve, deny, or attach conditions. But there is also part of the regulation that requires and allows the county to hold public hearings in the event there are issues of public safety and health raised by interested parties. The interested parties here, Mr. Polsky's neighbors, did on a timely basis ask for a public hearing. And so Cameron County held a public hearing in which interested parties made statements that they considered. Among those interested parties was the then mayor of South Padre Island, Mr. Patel, city councilman from Padre Island, and all of them stated that the kind of activities that were going on the beach were family-related recreational activities, and they considered the beach to be a public park. But going to Mr. Polsky's earlier discussion, the Constitution of Texas specifically...
So let me stop you right there before
certainly.
We move into the substantive law.
Yes.
So when we're discussing the standard of review, which is the correct way of whether we're reviewing judges' pates,
yes.
Order, are as being argued by the appellant, we are looking to see whether Judge Pate properly, construed the statute of what a public park as defined under the sexually oriented business statute.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, I think also that also goes to the issue of, did Cameron County itself properly construe its own regulation? I think that Cameron County, acting in its appellate capacity under these regulations, acted as a court.
So it's not an evidentiary matter. It's a matter of statutory construction, is it not? So it's not really an abuse of discretion to the extent that we have evidence that we're having to construe one way or another. We're just construing, doing a statutory construction of the statute.
It may be, and in that event, what I would point out is that when the definition double G states what it states, that a public park is any tract of land dedicated for public use and accessible to the general public for recreational purposes, including locations owned by nonprofit organizations that provide educational and recreational facilities, but not including public roads, walkways, easements, and rights of way. If we're going to construe the construction of that and what it means, ordinary rules of statutory construction require us to harmonize the provisions.
Go ahead. Right. Let me ask two quick questions,
sure.
Justice Burke, before you ask your questions. One, is this language defined or used in any other ordinance, or is it unique to Cameron County?
The specific wording GG. There is based upon the constitutional provisions, but as far as I know, Cameron County is the only county that's using this specific.
And I'm assuming there's been no other litigation or case law attacking that definition.
This definition. Okay. There have been other cases that go to the issue of what is a public park.
Justice Burke, did you have a
question?
Yes, sir.
Do you find any significance in the fact that they didn't put state or other geographical descriptions on the statute as far as public park? Because obviously the state, by prescription, is using this as a beach.
Right.
Which most people, I think, would think a beach was a public park.
Yes.
But the question, I guess, is ultimately, is the state's definition of public park just absolutely excluded here? Or how do we get to the state's definition of public park?
Yeah. Let me look at it real quick. What we have, and it's in Mr. Polsky's brief at page 15, it has a Texas constitutional provision. The part that I think is significant is where it says, to which the public has acquired right of use or easement to or over the area by prescription or dedication, or has established and retained a right by virtue of continuous right in the public under Texas common law. So the park, the public beach, is more than a mere easement. It is a right of use by dedication, prescription, custom, and usage, as stated in the Villanova case. I think of particular significance is when we look at the record, there is, at page 61 of the record, is a warranty deed for Mr. Polsky's property. And I think this is particularly significant because the acquired right of use or easement, words have meaning. So it is not easement standing in isolation, it is the right of use. On the warranty deed at page 61 of the record, the exclusions and exceptions to the conveyance at number 3 states, the right of the public individually and collectively to use of any portion of said land extending from the line of mean low tide to the line of vegetation as defined by Article 54.15d of Vernon State Statutes bordering on the Gulf of Mexico. What we see is 4 or 5 other specific exceptions to the conveyance. And that's where it talks about easements and roadways. Number 4, a 10-foot easement to the rear of the lot. Number 4, an easement in favor of the Laguna Madre Water District. Number 6, visible and apparent easements on or across a property. Number 8, any portion of the property which is within the boundaries of a road or roadway. Number 9, easements, right-of-way, and other prescriptive rights. That, in my mind, makes a distinction between an easement or a mere easement and the public right of use, which has been...
I'm sorry, Mr. Gonzalez, doesn't number 3 really just describe the easement that is prescribed for in the statute anyway? I mean, it's not changing. It's not giving them... It's a right of use, but it's the same... We're talking about the same territories from low tide to the dunes, basically. It's not any additional land.
Well, I want to draw the distinction, Justice Longoria, that he's Mr. Polsky is saying it's a roadway or a mere easement.
Right.
And I'm saying it's more than a mere easement and more than a mere roadway. On the beach, if you've ever been there, there's only a portion of it that you can actually drive on. The beach itself goes all the way to the line of vegetation. From the water all the way up to the line of vegetation is what families use. And so even if it was true that it was the roadway portion of it wouldn't fit the definition, the rest of it would, and this is where those recreational activities occur. So in the view of the county, it is significant that that right of use by dedication, and I would argue to the justices, that that is more than a mere easement. It is greater than an easement, and state law has recognized, as in the Villanova case, that this is a by dedication prescription, and that it's an easement as well. But it being more than an easement.
The appellant has argued that the manner in which the Cameron County Commissioners, quote, dedicated, unquote, this land, doesn't make it a dedication as what I'm calling the first prong, as under the definition.
The county did not dedicate it as a county-owned park, and in the public hearing recommendations and the upholding of the denial, the language used is that it is a park not owned by Cameron County, which is true. The public beach is owned by the state of Texas under Texas Constitution.
So can we have a public park that's not? I mean, Ms. the appellant is arguing that it can't be a public park because it's not owned. It's privately owned. And so private individuals can't have a public park as defined under the statute. Is that statement correct?
No, we dispute that it's privately owned. And in fact, the beach is owned by the state of Texas, held in trust for the public with that public right of use and easement. And so the state of Texas owns that easement. In one of the cases that I provided in my list of cases.
One second, though.
Yes.
Isn't it true that that property is up for sale even? I mean, I think we're provided with evidence that, you know, those specific lots were up for sale and that somebody placed taxes on them.
Yes, it's up for sale on the issue of whether somebody pays taxes or not. Mr. Molina testified to that. Mr. Molina is a chief appraiser for the Cameron County Appraisal District. He's not a Cameron County official, and his mission is different than the commissioner's mission. The commissioner's mission is to give effect to the regulations which are promulgated under state law and in their capacity as watching out for the public health and safety. Again, on the issue of property.
So I can own land. Let's take it. I can own land, let's say, in the middle of Edinburgh, and I decide to put a park on it. So I decide to put, I have a young child that's passed away, and so as form of dedication, I've decided to put a park there for children. And I can then have, in this case, it would be the county of Hidalgo County, dedicate that as a public park, so that no sexually orientated business could be put 1,500 feet, I keep adding the wrong thing, yards, feet, miles, 1,500 feet from that. Is that what would occur? Let's assume it's in Cameron County in the middle of Harlingen.
I don't know, because the definition does include that it can be locations owned by a nonprofit organization. Okay. The rest of the definition is only dedicated for public use and accessible to the general public. Nowhere in that definition does it say Cameron County has to dedicate it. And in fact, it's dedicated by the constitutional provisions and the law as applied in Villanova. If in your example, it was a 501c corporation that owned it, then probably, yes, it would apply. But in this case, that's not necessary. The dedication part is by operation of law, custom, and the Constitution, and is provided in the Villanova case. With respect to whether the sheriff is a proper party, he is not. While he has delegated the authority to investigate and deny or uphold, he is also bound under the regulations to the recommendations made by the Cameron County Commissioner's Court, and specifically the provision upon which he denied it, which included that it was a public park. That was as a result of the public hearings and the Cameron County's written recommendations. To the sheriff, those were binding under the regulations. The regulations specifically say that the sheriff shall give effect to the recommendations of Cameron County. That being the case with respect to the sheriff, it was a ministerial act. Furthermore, the right of appeal under the regulations goes to the Cameron County Commissioner's Court, acting as a judicial body, and they upheld the denial again on the basis of what they had previously recommended. And so there is really no reason for the sheriff to be a part of the case if it were to continue. He's not a proper party. Relief would be available as against Cameron County Commissioner's Court acting as a body. But we believe that Judge Pate properly applied the standard of review, and he did it based on the evidence in the record from the public hearing and from the administrative hearing, from the hearing before the Commissioner's Court. And for all of those reasons, we would ask this court to uphold his decision in its entirety. Any other questions, Justices?
Any further questions?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. Thank you for giving the court 5 minutes back.
May it please the Justices. My learned colleague has not answered the $64,000 question, and the $64,000 question is, when I subpoenaed the chief property appraiser, Richard Molina, as a witness to the public hearing, and he testified that the property in front of my beachfront lots, I own lots 8, 9, and 10, he testified lots 11, 12, 13, and 14 were owned by private individuals. He identified who owned those lots. He identified that they paid taxes on it on a yearly basis. He swore under oath that that a public park cannot be owned by private individuals. That none of his testimony was contradicted by any of the county or the sheriff's witnesses.
With the warranty deed, if it has some type of elimination in it, would that be sufficient to overcome the chief appraiser?
No. No, because the warranty deed is subject to interpretation. The words are subject to interpretation. I had an expert, a expert who works for the county, who works and is salaried by the county, render an expert opinion, and his opinion was unqualified, that the public beach in front of my property is owned by private individuals.
Of course, I would still go to construction, statutory or otherwise, correct?
Well, yes.
I mean, just because somebody has a legal conclusion saying, hey, this is it, that doesn't bind us. We've got to look beyond that, look at the paper, we've got to look at the statute and meld the two and balance and harmonize the best we can. Is that correct?
But if the only testimony is that the beach in front of my property, if that's the only testimony, and if it's by an expert, and if that expert is a county employee and the chief appraiser, I mean, that's a very difficult hurdle for you to overlook as an appellate court. And he says that a public park can't be owned by private individuals. He's telling you it's the beach in front of my property is owned by private individuals. They pay taxes on it. And he's telling you in the testimony that the county commissioner has heard that a public park can't be owned by private individuals. The beach in front of my property is owned by private individuals. They pay taxes on it. And he's telling the commissioners, look, the beach in front of Polsky's property can't be a public park. And the commissioners are disregarding his testimony because they don't want me to get that license. So you three justices, are you going to overlook that testimony? A testimony of the county's chief appraiser?
I don't think we overlook it, Mr. Polensky. The court never overlooks any testimony that's before its court, but it needs to take it into account with the other testimony and then do a statutory construction. And my question is, is it relevant that it is privately owned in order to meet the definition as set out in Double G? So that's the question for this court.
Well, Double G says that a public park can't be property where the public has an easement. And I've shown you the Open Beaches Act in the Texas Constitution.
But it doesn't say that it can't be a public park owned by a private individual. That's the issue. I understand the easement argument. That's separate and apart. But that doesn't say that a privately owned park can't be defined under 204.
Well, with all due respect, Justice Benavides, a public park can't be owned by a private individual. So when you made that statement...
What authority do you have for that?
Excuse me?
What authority do you have for that?
Because I researched it. I researched it hours on end. And I challenge the three justices here and their law clerks to find a case that says a public park can be owned by a private individual. I've researched that. And if that case existed, my learned colleague would have found it. So it can't be shown. It can't be done.
It can't be shown that it can or cannot. I mean, we have those issues all the time in front of this court where there is no case law one way or another. That just leaves up to this court to interpret it as defined. So,
well, then you just have to make new law to say that a public park can be owned by a private individual.
Every day in this courtroom, Mr. Belinsky. That's why the court is here and hearing oral argument on an issue that has never been before this court. And that's why we granted our way. Time is up.
Thank you,
Mr. Belinsky.
Have a good day and have a healthy and happy holiday.
We will. You too, and safe drive, everybody.
Thank you, Justice.
Thank you.
You may.